Welcome back. Minister Kathleen Lynch is still with us, and I'm also joined in studio here by historian and former editor of the Irish Press, Tim Pat Coogan, and from Britain we're joined by Jenny McShannon, chief executive of the Irish in Britain, and the Labour Party member of Parliament for Wolverhampton South East, Pat McFadden. First, if I can go to Tim Pat Coogan. Tim Pat, you've long covered Anglo-Irish events. How do you see this state visit in the context of all that has happened over the past decades?
Well, it's about the highest point, if you like, on the key wall of Irish history that Anglo-Irish friendship has washed up. Obviously, it comes in the wake of the other visit, Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth to Ireland, which was historic in its own way. But there's been a series of things. It's in lockstep with the improvement in the northern situation. You had there was improvement for a while with Harold Wilson. He showed sort of Dublin sympathy. Remember his famous Sponger speech. But you'd really want to chart the present thing to John Major and Albert Reynolds. They certainly changed things. Major was definite advance in any other Tory that we ever had dealings with. Look at Margaret Thatcher or Ted Heath. And then the man that deserves most credit as an English Prime Minister would be Tony Blair. Tony began with his famine apology, and he really deserves a high place in Irish, Anglo-Irish history. It's unfortunate that he has been obscured with the Iraq venture, but you have to acknowledge as an Irishman that he did good. And the Cameron administration has also carried that on. You had obviously a very concrete thing. They lent us money at the time of the bailout crisis, and you had the apology for Bloody Sunday. Again, an echo of the Heath administration, and Ireland has no place, or Dublin has no place in the north. And then you had another unrecognised part of a story, I suppose, would be Mary Robinson, who bridged two gaps. She very courageously shook hands with Gerry Adams at a time when recognition was very thin in the ground for Sinn Féin to bring them into the talks. And then she was also pushing out the boat with Buckingham Palace visits.
And when Mary called for tea.
Yes. the famous story about she asked what the little dogs were, and she was told they were corgis, and the Queen is supposed to say, and by the way, could I ask you, what's that big shaggy wolfhound you have at your heels? Said, oh, that's, what's he called? And that's Nicholas, she's supposed to have said. Anyhow, and then Mary McAleese carried the ball a bit. I mean, it's really only sort of a common sense relationship between two neighbours. It's neighbourly. I would say that in the person of Michael D, we've got a very good ambassador, a man of culture, a nice sort of personable guy, and very rooted in Ireland. Doesn't take a backward step in that, but I'd certainly much rather see him over there now than Alan Chatter.
Okay, on that note, let me talk to Jenny McShannon, who's chief executive of Irish in Britain. Jenny, what does the state visit mean to the Irish community in Britain?
Hello. I think it would, in the words that Tim has suggested, be a real expression of the contemporary relationship for the Irish community in Britain and the relationship between Britain and Ireland. I think peace in the north has had massive consequences for the Irish in Ireland, but also for the Irish in Britain. And I think they see this visit as expressing a recognition of that our relationship is built on more than just the difficulties that we've had in Northern Ireland. I think it's also about expressing a contemporary relationship and a confidence that the Irish, a confidence amongst the Irish. So I think it's really, really important for newer migrants, for those who came here many, many years ago. It's a very exciting time to be here.
Pat McFadden, thanks for joining us. You're the Labour Party MP for Wolverhampton South East, and so listeners have some sense of your background. Both your parents were Irish speakers from the Donegal Gaeltacht. You were born in Scotland. In your view, will the visit of President Higgins have as much impact in Britain, perhaps, as the visit of the Queen had here?
No, I don't think it will have quite that impact. I think it will have a big impact on the Irish community, families like my own with family roots in Ireland. And I think it's a very important moment. It's as your contributors have been saying, this is part, maybe the culmination of a long, long process of the normalising of relations between Britain and Ireland, and in a way unburdening some of the history that prevented that over time. And you know, for me, the key moment in all of that was the Good Friday Agreement and the leadership shown by Tony Blair and Bertie Ahern in particular, where once that had happened, it just felt like so much ice had been broken, and these were two leaders who perhaps recognised history but refused to be imprisoned by it. And I think that both the Queen's visit a couple of years ago and this visit are the culmination of that long, long process.
Tim Pat, have we finally broken from the shackles of history?
Oh, I'd love to be able to say that, but look, let's face it, the elephant in the room is still Northern Ireland. I mean, that isn't a settled, done deal. The other day, I had the President of America calling very public attention to the fact that they had to go the extra mile.
Bill Clinton on his recent visit.
Yeah, and you have, and I mean, he was absolutely an integral part of the Good Friday Agreement. You still have this ongoing loyalist protest, the flags issue, and encampments.
All the unresolved issues.
Yes, encampments of loyalism around the monastery up in Nordoyne and that sort of thing, which could flare up. This year, you.
In Donard, I think. Yeah,
yeah, this yes.
Clonard, sorry.
No, Clonard is in the falls.
Yeah, Donard, yeah.
And things over in the Ardoyne. But you also have the, remember, it's another barrel of the shotgun, if you like, or another shoe to drop in the commemoration saga this year. On the Orange side, you've got the Larne gun running to be commemorated. That'll put temperatures up. And then beyond all that, and this is where some cynics I've heard it say that all this talking to each other and the good stuff, it has to do with trying to downplay the big anniversary, which is coming, which is the commemoration of 1916, which will certainly put up the orange temperature. So all that is still there to be negotiated. It's tricky stuff. And it's very constructive that Michael D, President Higgins, is going over. And in that sense, it all helps. But we needn't finish. We needn't kid ourselves that we know we're past the post. There will be some form of IRA so long as there is a British presence in Northern Ireland. That's the unpalatable reality of the fact.
I want to come back in a few moments to some of the big historical milestones, but if I can come back to Jenny McShannon for a moment. Jenny, in terms of the Irish, the emigrant experience in Britain, it really has changed over the decades from the time when people went to Britain to escape poverty or to escape the Troubles, whereas these days and in latter times, it's more a wave of really well-educated young Irish people who are going to Britain to advance themselves or seek new opportunities.
I think that's right, and actually I'm on a break from a conference in the London Irish Centre today on being Irish in Britain, and the first panel discussion was on the generational gulf. I think there's two things to say to that. One is that there was a brain drain in the 80s, and there has always been those who came over here with a great education. But in terms of the masses of the 800,000 that came over in the 50s and 60s, yes, you would say that there is a difference. I think we look upon the young Irish people who are coming over at the moment in a sense as European or global commodities with their education, their experience. They come from Ireland that has been successful wherever it has gone in the difficult economic challenge it's faced at the moment. They have had experience of success and they have expectation of success. They don't come to a Britain where they are viewed as a suspect community, so they therefore come with a confidence and they are received with greater confidence, and that makes a huge difference.
Pat McFadden, is that your sense of it from even within your own constituency and from dealing with other people in the wider Irish community, that there has been a transformation totally in terms of the perception of the Irish in Britain?
Oh, I think so. I mean, if you take my parents' generation, I mean, they came in the 1950s when times were pretty hard for them and for you know, for many people at the time. My dad worked on the building sites. My mother worked in a local authority children's home, and you know, they made a good life in Scotland, and we, you know, me and all my brothers and sisters, we grew up there. I think Jenny's right. The experience of immigrants from Ireland has changed a lot since those days, and I think probably the perceptions in the UK have also changed. You know, a significant cultural moment for me was during the Olympics. when Katie Taylor was cheered to the rafters by many British voices as well as Irish ones. And I think that was quite a moment, actually. Sometimes there's just a moment that clarifies things. And I thought that was a really warm moment of relations between the people. Forget the politicians, forget the diplomats, forget, you know, all the politics of it. You know, when it came to sport, there was the people coming together to cheer an Irish athlete. And, you know, I thought that was quite a significant moment as to where we are now in terms of relations between ordinary people in both countries.
Tim Pat Coogan.
I think that the MP has touched on the most important matter there, sport. Sport has done more to bring people together than anything. I mean, even in bad times, I remember a BBC panel talking about soccer. Alan, what's his name, used to striker for Arsenal. And he said to the panel, and they all agreed with him, you know, when our team, meaning the British national team, the English team, was beaten, we cheer for the Republic of Ireland. And you find at every level of sport, be it Cheltenham, which just gone out, or you see Aintree today, at all times, like, do you remember the commemoration they had, the Zany commemoration at the start of the Olympics? And the commentators...
Gary Lineker.
Lineker, yeah. Gary and the presenter, they spent as much time talking about the Irish contingent, about other Irish friends and what great competitors they were. There was an enormous cheer when the Irish team entered, you know, the stadium. That is the sort of natural, even during the famine, while the Palmerston's government and the rest of them were clearing the Irish off their lands in Ireland, was a genocide. The ordinary English people were putting their hands in their pocket and giving money. And that people-to-people relationship is always there. And that is the beauty of it. When the MP was talking there about it wasn't diplomats, it wasn't, politicians. But there is a level at which the diplomatic exchange tells you something. I remember a chap in the Irish embassy at the bad times during the Troubles when you had the PTA Act in operation and the blue lights and the yellow paper outside Irish digs, fellas being hauled off, you know, in the middle of the night. And the kind of treatment they got when they'd ring up, they would hear a very loud English voice at the other end of the phone saying, oh, yes, it's the Irish on again about terrorism. And that, you know, you were left in no doubt that you're interfering with the real business. Now, that feeds into all sorts of governmental relationships and day-to-day behaviour and whether Dublin should have any say in the North and should be interfering with the White House. So to see all that dying down, it can only be good and it should be furthered. We'll always have our glitches, but we look forward to seeing the English football team coming over to Croke Park and beating them.
Okay, on that, let me just bring in Minister Kathleen Lynch. I suppose there's one aspect of this visit, Minister, that certainly from the government's point of view, it will bring some respite away from all the difficulties and woes of the last few weeks on the political front here.
I hope now, Brian, you're not suggesting that that's why it was planned.
No, I wouldn't suggest that for a moment.
It was planned well in advance of that. I would have to say...
But it may be well, the timing may well be politically fortuitous.
Well, you know, sometimes the gods are with you, Brian, you know.
Very seldom. So over the last few weeks.
But, well, there you are, Tim Pat. What can I say about that? But I would say that the Queen's visit to Ireland, I said it at the time and I'll say it again, and I feel the same about this particular visit in relation to the President. It is far more important to the Irish in England than it is to us. I believe that fundamentally. I think that's sort of personal conflict that is always there within all of us, whether it's our families working in England and coming home during the summer, whether in my own case coming up to the start of the anniversary of World War One in August, when I had a grandfather and a granduncle killed in the First World War. And there's always that personal conflict between the Irish and the English on a personal basis, as Tim Pat has already said, very warm relationships, a very good, compassionate response to various disasters, and yet this sort of public persona of the conflict. And I think it's about putting that to bed. It's not there yet. I mean, we have a long way to go. I would agree with Tim Pat in relation to as long as we haven't concluded all of our business, that conflict will always be there. But nevertheless, I think it is the normalisation of the relationship. relationship. I mean, allowing the Irish in England to feel more comfortable with the decisions they made is hugely important.
And on that point, if I can just go back to Jenny McShannon. Jenny, I think in your own personal, in relation, for instance, at a very simple level to your own two boys, they feel equally at home with dual nationality, essentially, as well as supporting the local team, Spurs.
Yeah, very much. And also, as the conversation has been had at the conference we're at today at London Irish Centre, about an identity, about where you've come from and where you are, whether it's in Britain, whether it's in Tottenham, supporting Spurs, or whether it's as London Irish. They're half Irish, half English. And so for them, it's about having an expression of their Irishness as an equal part to their Britishness.
Of course, Pat McFadden, one of the issues that Tim Pat touched on earlier, and I want to just go back to this now, is the sensitivity surrounding some of the big historical milestones that we're looking at over the next while, particularly this year, the anniversary of the First World War, and how they are handled. That really is also a big part of the evolving Anglo-Irish relationship.
Yes, it is. And of course, if you go through the next few years, there's a lot of anniversaries. He mentioned Easter Rising. There'll be other things in a few years after that. I mean, this year in the UK, the centenary of the outbreak of World War One is hugely important. As you'd expect, there are an awful lot of commemorations taking place this year. I think it's quite significant that one of the things on President Higgins' itinerary is to lay a wreath at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. There has been a lot of tributes, including in the last week, in Parliament here to the 49,000 Irishmen who lost their lives fighting in World War One. And it's really, you know, I can only give you the view of that from the UK. I mean, my impression is that in Ireland, perhaps until quite recently, some of this has been played down a bit. Some of it's perhaps been difficult to talk about. I get the impression that has changed a bit in recent years, and that acknowledging and commemorating service in World War One has become a bit easier, but obviously you and people there are far better able to judge that than me.
Just on that point, Tim, Pat, if the very point that Pat made there, I think that was perhaps best epitomised by the Queen's visit to the War Memorial at Island Bridge when she was here. But how much pressure is on the Irish government in terms of the sensitivity, particularly around the centenary of 1916?
Well, I want to know, I've picked up the Royal One. It used to be the Royal We, now I say One. But you don't really know what's going on behind closed doors. But I'd say there's a lot. Figure it for yourself. There'll be a lot of people commemorating people who were shot by the English. And a lot of people in the north in particular will want to celebrate it. They feel that what they set out to do hasn't been finished. It was to be a 32-county Ireland. They didn't go out Easter 1916 for a mean-spirited and ungenerous Orange hegemony for several years until the day of the Good Friday Agreement. And it's still, you know, a battle a day, you know, as Gerry Adams said up there. So
a small group of dissidents. In the main, the vast majority of the nationalists, population.
At the same time, they felt like that in 1916. I'll give you one example of sensitivity that I know of my own knowledge, and that's the famine commemoration. Now, it wouldn't be possible, it's not possible to hold one of these annual famine commemorations yet north of the border, because there's still an element there regards the famine as God's judgment on the feckless and improvident Irish, you know, the superiority of the loyalist element, providentialism, all that old spirit is still there. And rather than frightening the horses in the street, even though people died there in great numbers and left in great numbers, it emigrated to America. That's not being commemorated. I used to be on the Famine Committee and I proposed it, but it was universally shot down, you know, from Justice, Foreign Affairs, etc. So, I mean, there is still you know, scar tissue there. And that's why I think this is quite important. It's easier in a way, this trip of the Irish government to London, than the Queen and the London government, say, coming here, even though she also laid a wreath at the Garden of Remembrance, which was a very important thing. That was a very big step forward. But there aren't the same toes being stepped on by the Queen's presence. Is the crown, the symbolic thing of the crown
the
in Irish history.
But this is just many decades.
The head of the Irish state, a personable, decent man, representing a whole lot of very personable and decent people whom ordinary people interact with every day of the week. They see them. They know they built their cities, their airports,
and essentially
their
canals. This cements the normalisation.
It does.
It
doesn't cement it, but it's an enormous bridge towards the final cement would only be poured when the North thing is settled. And there'll always be a bit of conflict between two countries contending for...
I want to just bring in very, very quickly Jenny McShannon again and Pat McFadden. Jenny, what are you looking forward to most in the days ahead?
I think I'm looking forward to the sense of reciprocity between the two heads of state. I'm looking forward to the vibrancy within the Irish community that has brings us together across the different generations, as well as those of us from the north. I think it's just to touch something that it has been not been noted that this is the year of the anniversary of the Birmingham pub bombings, and this is a great year for for this to happen because the difficulties of the past.
I'll take a very quick last word from Pat McFadden, the MP for the Labour Party. What are you looking forward to most, Pat? Very quickly.
Well, I return to what I said about the relationships between the peoples, which is ultimately the most important thing. I mean, I'm an optimist about this. You can always say what about this and what about that, but you know, compared to where we were 20, 30, 40 years ago, the relations between the UK and Ireland at the most important level, which is between the peoples, have been completely transformed. And I think the visit of President Higgins, I totally agree, a warm and decent man that he is, who's talked about the kind of moral
Pat, we'll have to leave it. And thanks to you and all our guests for joining us today. That's our lot from the programme. Thanks to everybody who joined us, and thank you for listening. We'll be back at the same time next Saturday. I hope you can join us then. For now, from all the team, enjoy the rest of your weekend.